I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to address the Aderis HaTorah family. I want to thank the Rosh Hashiva for giving me the opportunity and for David Cohn, who has given me a great deal of technical assistance to be able to address you. When the viral pandemic began, I heard about a mechaneches who spoke to her mechanchos. And she said that when she was a young mother and she had a daughter probably around the age of 8 or 9 years old, the family was going on a hike on a mountain path. And along the way, her daughter ran over and said, "Mommy, can I hold your hand?" And she said, "Of course you can hold my hand." And as they're going together, the mother said, "Why do you want to hold my hand?" She said, "Mommy, I don't know where I'm going." And so her mother said, "Do you know where you're going now?" She said, "No, Mommy, but I know that you do." And that idea, "No, Mommy, but I know you do," so was mechazik me. And I've shared it with many people during this particular time, because do I know where I'm going? No, but I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Last week's Parsha, the Hero's Parsha's Pinchas, had a continuation of this theme, because there the children of Reuven are enumerated. And you have Reuven's son is Falu, and he has a son, Eliav. U'b'nei Falu Eliav. And okay, that's pretty clear. And the Mephorshim say that there's a deeper meaning. And that is, and it relates to our situation, and that is ufalu, that which is hidden, that which is beyond our ken. B'mufla mincha, it's hidden, it's concealed, beyond our scope of vision and understanding, is Eliyav. Eliyav, my God is my father. Okay, and that's the idea. It is a reminder to us, and it's very appropriate, that when we're in the midst of situations that we just don't know what is happening, when is it over, where is it going, we remember that Eliyav, it comes from Hashem. He is my father. My father would only do something for my benefit, nothing less. And again, it is a good feeling in that respect. You know, recently there's a song that has been sung, and I saw it printed and attributed to one of the Hasidic masters, and it is really a tefillah about parnasa, tefillah about hatzlocha, tefillah about general well-being. I want to share it with you. I will not sing it. Don't get nervous. But I want to give you the words this anyway. And it goes this way. Those of you who probably are familiar with it. And Ribon Hoylamim Yodati, Master of the world, I know. Ki hineni biyadcha levad, I am in your hands alone. Kachomer biyad hadyotzer, like pottery in the hands of a potter. The im games ametz, be'etz of sisach bulos, and even if I try hard with all different types of strategies, the chol yoshvei sevel yamdu li mini lahoshiyeni v'lismoch nafshi, and all the people of the world will stand at my right, and they're going to offer me assistance. Biladei uscho v'ezroscho, without your strength and without your help, ein etza v'yeshua, there is no etza. There's not going to be anything that good going to come from this at all. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need you. We are in your hands. That's the concept. So I think it's a beautiful tefillah. And, you know, if you can get the record, wonderful. But the main idea is that the concept is there, and it helps to get us through every thick and thin. Hopefully it'll be more thin than thick. I want to share some Torah insights with you that I've gleaned through the Parshas over the last number of weeks in Seder Bamidbar. Some of them, I hope, are even life-changing and certainly life-enhancing. And there's no specific order, but there is and no specific connection. I want to just be able to share ideas with you. In Parshas Bullock, for example, Matovu Leha Yaakov Mishkino Secha Yisrael. Said Bilam, how goodly are your tents, Jacob, your dwelling place is Israel. So the question that many, many people ask is, why is it, as beautiful as those words are, why are the words of Bilam found in our Siddur? That's what it is. The words associated to Bilam, and even if we say it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaking from the mouth of Bilam, just like he spoke from the mouth of the donkey, but the fact is, why put him into the Siddur? And not only that, so early on, even before Adon Olam, I would imagine if I had to put him into the Siddur, so I put him on page 300 or whatever it is, you know, conceal him somehow. But here he is right in the beginning. If I wanted to have words extolling the wonderful attributes of the Jewish people, maybe I could turn to David HaMelech or others. You know, Mikamcha Yisrael, Goyachad Boharetz, who is like the Jewish people, a unique people in the world, in the land. Okay, but why Bilam? So an approach years ago that I heard from Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky is that the bottom line, Hashem wants us to know that as early in the morning as possible, we should be at our best because people are observing us. People are watching us and we are influencing people, all of us. We may be our wives, our children. It may be the neighbor who sees us leaving the house. It may be the people who see us driving our car down the street to shul. It may be the congregants in shul who look and see when we come in, where we sit, etc., how we sit. Whatever's involved, people watch us. And that's the concept behind Matov Aleha Yaakov, Mishkan Osech Yisrael. And what do I mean? I'll go further. Where Bilam stood on a mountaintop. He looked down at Klal Yisrael and he was ready to curse them. And he saw something that made a positive impression upon him. As much as he, the Sonei Yisrael, who, you know, Baruch Hashem, he didn't fulfill what he wanted to fulfill. Otherwise, you know, we'd all not be here now, God forbid. But the fact is, a great Sonei Yisrael, even he was impressed by the way the tents were set up. Al shelo ra pischehem she'eino mechuvanim zeh mul zeh. He saw that the tents were set up in such a way that there was privacy, that people did not look into each other's entrances. And he marked that in his mind, wow, something he wasn't used to at all. And yet, later on, when he had this, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had him speak, those words of Matov Aleha Yaakov came out. And here is the concept. If a Bilam, such a so inveterate Sonei Yisrael, could be impressed with what he sees, how much more so by other people who don't have this feeling about us? And if there be animosity, it's a much lower level. And what about Jews who see us and observe us and they see that here is a Ben Torah, a Bas Torah, a wonderful Jewish person who lives a certain refined level of life and they are impressed. We could make the name of God beloved by all. What opportunities. Let me tell you. Afilu kotna to abeinecha, rosh shuftei Yisrael ata. Afilu katana at beinecha, beinayach. Even if you feel, who am I? Let me tell you, you can do a lot. I remember, it goes back over 60 years ago. I was a high school student in Hartford, Connecticut. And one of the yeshiva bachur came home for, you know, the bein hazmanim. And he spoke in Shalosh Shudis. And my father, Allah Shalom, came home and said, today I saw a beautiful, beautiful example of what I love for you to be like. And so, Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva that this young man attended, you know, is one that I ended up attending. Baruch Hashem. The Edith Pirusha Zil Gamor. But the fact is that we, each one of us, affects others, and we hear it early in the morning, and we make that Kal V'chomer. If a Bilam could be able to be impressed, how much more so can I be able, is when I'm just living. The Jews didn't know they were being observed, etc. Okay. I want to go on to a totally new concept. Here, Moshe and Aaron have spoken and criticized, Miriam and Aaron have criticized Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem is very upset about it. It says, Vayicharaf Hashem. Boom. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu was very, very angry. After he finished speaking, it says, Vayelach, he left them. Well, the fact is this. As angry as the Kaddish Baruch Hu was, it says, he, when he speaks to them, and he wants to give them whatever, you know, he has in store for them, she says, Shimuna, please listen. Rashi says, no, ain't no, el Lashon Bakasha. Okay? And we know what happened after that. The Sivsei Chachomim comments on the fact that a Kaddish Baruch Hu was very wroth. And at the same time, he spoke in a calm, measured way. And here's what the Sifsei Chachamim says. Af al pi shecharabam, or even though Hashem was very, very upset at them, mikol makom, nevertheless, ein no'el aloshen bakosha, he still spoke calmly, v'diberi mohem benachas, she'ilu hoyoa devorov bekas, had God spoken to them with kas, so then, lo hayu devorav nishmoim, even Miriam, even Aaron, would not have given the buy-in as necessary, that was necessary. The Lilmud Kal V'chomer, we can learn a Kal V'chomer from this. Lebosser v'dam, sheyu devorav benachas. That no matter how upset we get, from the matter what good rule, good reason, and of course we always feel, you know, if we're upset, that there must be a good reason. Fine, but the idea is that we must be calm and handle situations. And let me share with you something easy to say, when one is not being provoked. But one strategy that I want to share to help is halt, H-A-L-T. Yes, halt. H, it's an acronym. H is for hungry. A is to angry. And L is late. And T is tired. Which means that if we're involved with chinuch habonim and bonos, if we're involved in delicate types of discussion, it can be involved with colleagues. It certainly can be involved at home for shalom bayis as well. We must always remember, halt. If you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're late, and if you're tired, you can add anything else that you want to the list, then haul and handle it later on. Because it may be bound to have great, great difficulties in that. Now, the fact is that in Hebrew, I found it very interesting that this halt had a corresponding theme. And it went achbor, which, imagine, achbor is a rat. So even in Israel, they see, boy, this you have to be really careful, because you don't want to have not a mouse and not a rat and any other rodent that comes out of our communication or lack of communication, God forbid. Ayin is ayef. Achbar, by the way, is ayin chof beis reish. So what do you have? Ayin is ayef, tired. Chof koes, angry. Beis beichor, and reish is roev. Now, there's another consideration that I want to give as far as cost. Cost is, we want to try to stay far, far, far away. Consideration is Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos says the Aruch HaShulchan, based on a Gemara in Gittin, Ryan, the Mishnah Berurah, speaks about it too, but you get a clear, very clear picture from the Aruch HaShulchan. And here he says the following regarding Erev Shabbos. Hasotn misames lasos machlekes bebayis bahachnosis Shabbos kodesh. The sotn, tries to cause discord in a person's house on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, Lochain Yesh Li Zoher Bazem Ma'on. Therefore, be very, very careful. Now, that's a beautiful idea, I found at least, because I wondered, why is it, or why was it, there really, and why is it, that I should behave, you know, I'm usually a pretty calm fellow, and why should I behave in such a strange way Erev Shabbos? It's not just beat the clock, because whether Shabbos is 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock, Rad Lucas Neighbors, same thing would happen. And Baruch Hashem, when I saw this, it was like a Kilurian Leinayim. It was like, oh, wonderful. My eyes were opened and, you know, I got the idea. I hope you can get it too. Baruch Hashem. It's the Aruch HaShulchan Reish Samach Beis. And in Mishnah Berurah, Reish Samach Beis too. And Baruch Hashem. It's a, you know, if you have it, so Kas, you want to stay away. Now, it's Kas is another aspect of it too. There's a Mises occurred where a man came to his Rebbe. And he said, Rebbe, I have a problem with Kas. I make people miserable all around me. I had it at home, at work, in Beis Medrash, wherever it is, I have difficulty. You know, can you help me? And before hearing the whole, you know, litany of things, the Rebbe said, can you wait just a few minutes in the courtyard near that window? And I'll be back, or I'll be with you. I have another man, I have to speak to him first. So fine, the conversation goes on, inaudible. And then all of a sudden, the man standing outside who has this issue hears the Rebbe's voice. And the Rebbe says to the person with him who's now leaving, listen, as you're leaving, do me a favor. I want to observe the fellow out, you know, in the courtyard. If you don't mind, do something that gets him upset. So, of course, the person leaving didn't understand, but the Rebbe asked him to do it. So here he goes. He goes outside, and the first thing he does is to spill coffee on this other fellow's clothing. Oh, the man handles it, you know. With a plumb. Okay, he's calm. Next, he does something else and leaves. Now the Rebbe calls in this person, and the Rebbe says, you know, I was observing you, and I want you to know that you handle the situations pretty well. Rebbe says, you don't understand. I heard you tell him to do that, and because of that, I was prepared, but it was not easy. So the Rebbe says, listen, your problem is not an anger problem. Your problem is an emuna problem. It's a problem in emuna. Don't you realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world is testing and retesting us and to see how we react and how we interact with so many different people? So therefore, if so next situation that comes up, remember, first of all, halt. But besides that, remember that remember. If everything comes min hashemayim, if it comes your way and you didn't bring it on yourself, so to speak, you certainly it's min hashemayim and act accordingly. New concept, new idea, new concept. In Kriya Shema, this was Parshat Shlach, state, Ani Hashem Lekechem, Asher Tzvichem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lios Lechem Lekim, Ani Hashem Lekechem. Fine, everybody's familiar. I don't have to do any translation. We receive a daily reminder when we say Kriya Shema that the Hashem never gives a person a nisoyan, which is too much for him. And Hashem never gives a challenge to anyone that is going to overwhelm him and he loses his bechira. No, he'll always have. And where do you see it? You see it in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Lekechem Asher Etzei Sichem Eretz Yisrael. Why am I mentioning this here? Because I want all of you, I, the Supreme I, want you to remember that when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to Paro, so Moshe said to him, we want to go away for 3 days. That's major. We want, he said, that Derech Shloshes Yamim Nelech Bamidbar, the Zavach Hashem Lekechem. We want to go away for 3 days, and we want to offer korbanos to Hashem. Kasher yomer elenu, as he tells us what to do. Paro was never told, and this is very it's significant, that we're going, we're leaving you, and we're going to let your economy crumble because a good part of it is on our backs as your slaves. No, he wasn't told that. He was told 3 days. It means all of the makos and all the problems that they went through, the havoc which was reached in Egypt, which culminated in the slaying of the firstborn, was over 3 days. That's right. And then, until they saw that they're running away. And Paro didn't feel, well, let him go and they'll flee. There was no place to flee. It was a impossible, it would be suicidal to go into the desert. So Paro, when the citizens said to him, let them go, don't you realize that you're destroying Egypt? He didn't answer and say to them, well, don't you realize that it's even going to be worse because they're going to run away? No, they never expected to run away. And then, so what happened? So why? Why did Hashem tell Moshe to tell him 3 days? Because Hashem only gives him the soyan for a person he can handle. Had Moshe said, Paro, we want to go away forever, Paro said, oh, no way. But for 3 days, he could have handled it, but he didn't. And as a result, we have so many inyanim that relate to Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. But it's not just that. It's more than just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give you a great in the Sayyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you his Gezer Umikayim. But it's a beautiful concept I want to share from you that I once heard from Reb Pesach Kron. Perks up everybody's ears. Oh, Peter Reb Pesach Kron. Fine, good. That's a beautiful idea. And here is that Hashem, he does more than just sees that we can, won't give us too large of an Nisayon. But it says in Baruch Shamar V'Hayolam, Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke, and there was a world. Baruch Oisev Rashis created Genesis, the world. Who Omer Vaisa, he says, and it occurs. Baruch Geizer Mekayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, and he sustains. Baruch Merachem Al Haaretz, God has mercy for the land. God has mercy for the creation, for the creatures on the land. God is Mishalem Schar Tov, the Reyav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu recompenses people who have awe, respect, and fear of him. God lives forever, so don't worry. The account will always be held and carefully. Baruch Poyam Matzil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Redeemer. Fine. If you look at all of these attributes of Hashem, all the things that he's done, there's one that stands out if you look at it on a simple level and you wonder, like, what's it doing here? And that is Baruch Gozer Mikayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing all these wonderful things for us. He has great mercy for us. He is giving us the rewards, etc. And all of a sudden, it seems very harsh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees. It's like, Yonah, you can't get away from it. He sustains the decree. Wow. Why? It's a problem. So it was said, and the Pesach gave it over beautifully, that Gezer Mikayim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees and he sustains the person to handle the decree. It's a beautiful idea. Think about it. Something comes our way. I didn't expect it. Whatever. Even at this time, when we have the virus, etc., with all of the ramifications, which are not simple. I'm not in any way trying to make it simple. And therefore, we know one thing over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gezerah, that comes, Hashem will help sustain us to handle it. An important idea. And let me share just a reinforcement of the idea too. It happened to be in a secular narrative called the Footsteps. We have a Hashem, so to speak, this metaphor is used. Hashem is walking along the sand on a beach with somebody. And you see two sets of footsteps, supposedly in an anthropomorphic way, Hashem's and the person he's walking with. And ahead of them, all of a sudden, appears danger in one form or another. And all of a sudden, you look down and there's only one, set of footsteps. And the person looks down, only one set. He says, Hashem, Hashem, why have you abandoned me? It's like, Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Azavtani. And you hear the voice of Hashem. And Hashem says, I have not abandoned you. I'm carrying you. Wow. But wherever the source may be, it's a beautiful concept because it's Amos. I'm carrying you. And that's what it is. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. How wonderful, thank God. You know, the name Chaim, Ches Yud Yud Mem, the two Yuds in the middle, Hashem Hashem. Chaim, we know, Chaim has Hashem. Hashem is the North Star. Hashem is our compass. Hashem is one who is carrying us. You know, every part. Okay. Now, in English, Chaim is life, L-I-F-E. To a person who does not have this understanding, life, L-I-F-E, in its middle is if, what if, why if, when if, why me? Oh boy, that's where we can get, as they said, from pandemic to pandemonium. Panic, oi. Okay, thank God. Listen, we don't have the answers any more than anybody else does, but at least we know that is, mommy, I don't know where I'm going. But I know that you know where you're going. And it certainly gives a great deal of chizuk. In last week's Sedra, new idea. Last week's Sedra in Matos is a very interesting dialogue between B'nai Reuven, B'nai Gad, and Moshe Rabbeinu. B'nai Reuven, B'nai Gad, later Chatzimah, Shevet Menashe, decide they want to stay in the land of Sichon and Og, which will become a part of Eretz Yisrael. But they're not, they don't want to go and live in the land. Moshe Rabbeinu, after discussion with them, says he says, listen, you know, we don't want you to spoil the ardor of the Jewish people when they see that you're not going in. No, we're going to go in. We're going to be the vanguard. And they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gidrus Tzon, we're going to set up pens, corrals for our livestock, and we'll set up cities for our children, our wives, to the family. Moshe Rabbeinu listened to that. And we'll go. We'll be the vanguard. Moshe listened to that, and he says to them in response, he says, you know, set up the cities for your wives and children, and then the livestock. Don't put the dogish, don't put the stress, the emphasis on what we're going to do for the livestock. On the ikir, on the primary should remain primary, and the secondary. And they got the message, because later on, when after Moshe gives them permission, they say to them, they say that the tapenu v'nashenu comes first, and then they mention the livestock. We're going to take care of our wives and children, our children and our wives, and then we will take care of the livestock. They got it. They understand that family first. And this has been the hallmark of Jewish living, always family first. I want to share with you the words of Rav Volber, who brings down in his Kuntres for Chasana that he's a beautiful, beautiful idea, and the name's Rav Chaim Vital. And he says the following: a person who is Oisik in Gemilas Chesed, the person's involved with Gemilas Chesed, he lends money, he's Mevaker Cholim, he's Menachem Avelim, God forbid, he's Mesameach Chosen and Kala, such a person, he has a wonderful, wonderful Gan Eden waiting for him. However, he says, Avon, know clearly that somebody who does all these things is going to be investigated by heaven, not so much on these wonderful things he's doing, but he says, how does he behave to his wife? Now they're speaking about husband to wife, because this is a kuntres for chasanim. I would assume that what I'm going to say now works both ways. How does he behave to his wife? Im gam imo goyim chesed, is he nice to her as well? Wonderful. But if he provokes her, if he's not nice to her and to the people in his home, etc., if he shows anger, if he's too strict, etc., then all that he has been doing outside the home is for naught, because family first. And I really feel, in truth, you know, men and women are different in their approach in this, but without a doubt, the dogish for the man has to be his wife and family, and for her as well, her husband and family, is no question. Baruch Hashem, which in most, you know, in most situations, that is indeed the way it is. Now, exactly, this is why the Mishnah says, Al todnis chavercha asha tagil im komo. Don't make a judgment about a person till you go to his place. So one of the enforcement explains his place means his home. You know, the way we behave, the costumes we wear, the all this, you know, the roles we play. You want to see what we are? See the way we behave at home. That's why, in truth, that's why Hashem judges us how the way we behave to our spouses, because that's really who we are, not the way we behave in front of others. Or the fact is, the makom she'ein anoshim tishtad liyosif, in a place where there are no people, be a man, be a woman. In this, and what do I mean here? Be in your home. That's where it is. The makom she'ein anoshim. You know, you're alone with your spouse and all the children in the home and all this. That's where, you know, that's really the litmus test. So once again, I want to thank the Rosh Yeshiva for giving the opportunity to address our mishpacha, and for Reb David Cohn, who went beyond to give me the opportunity to speak this afternoon, today, and I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Shabbos with your wonderful, wonderful family. Be well. Thank you so very, very much.